Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Garr. My guest tonight has been encountering spirits since he was 6 years old, growing up in Buffalo, New York. And it wasn't until his near-death experience on motorcycle that he learned how these spirits can affect our lives on a daily basis. He began to study why they're here and what they're trying to tell us. I call him the modern-day Ghostbuster, Rick Wagner. He's joining us. He's the author of a book called My Haunted Reality, 50 Years of Ghost Stories. Welcome, Rick. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So you grew up in Buffalo, New York. You don't sound like you did. Just from that one sentence.
You're saying I don't have a Buffalo accent.
You don't. You don't. Tell me, what was your earliest memory of seeing ghosts?
Explained in the book, I was about 6 or 7 years old, and I saw something at the foot of the bed. And I was frozen and paralyzed with fear. And I remember trying to scream across the hall to my grandmother, who was in the room across the hall. My sister was in there, and my brother was in the same room with me. But for some reason, I was reaching out to my grandmother. I could see it crouched down, and it looked like it was trying to get to me. And this went on for quite some time, and eventually it stopped.
Did your brother see it?
No.
Didn't wake up.
I couldn't move, and then by that time, mm-hmm. I was falling back asleep. So my mother was showing me a photo album, maybe a year later, flipping through the pages, and I saw this man, white hair, with white pajamas and a white bed, and I'm like, oh, who's that? And my mom says, that's my dad.
Mm.
He had rheumatoid arthritis for 30 years and wasn't able to walk, so he could never stand up straight. And I said, oh, that's who was at the foot of my bed. It was my grandfather. Mm. Here we are, and part of the reason for doing the book is to get people's mind out of the fear of what's around us. It was my grandfather trying to get a message to my grandmother, telling her that he's okay, and I'm like this paralyzed six-year-old freaking out.
Not knowing what you just saw. What did your mother say when you said that? She turned white as a ghost?
our family knows this. I mean, I've always had these conversations. It was even, quick situation. My mom passed away, and the funeral was in Buffalo. And there is the viewing room for the coffin. And I recall standing there at the foot of the coffin in this small room, looking down into the coffin at my mother's body. My dad standing there, my brother, my sister, and my younger sister were all kneeling down. Everyone's crying. Lisa, I'm not feeling anything. I'm like, I was so close to our family and so close to my mom, and I'm not connecting. I'm looking down going, I don't know who that is. I said, I'm going to step back. Let them have their moment. I'm going to just step against the wall. And I was observing, and something touched my shoulder. And I said, oh, there you are. And my dad turned around, and he goes, well, who are you talking to? I go, Mom's over here, and she wants you to know she's not in her suitcase anymore.
How old were you?
Probably 25.
Oh.
At that point. So there's been all this, we've always had these conversations in our family.
Ah.
And the fact that I could still have this connection with Mom. My dad's passed away. I have a connection with him. We always have our guides around us, but we have our family. We came to this planet as a learning planet. We actually chose our family and our guides. So we never really lose that connection with them. That's part of the death grief counseling I do with my clients, is to let them know they aren't far away. They really aren't.
It's interesting because you talk about a lot of the, quote, ghosts that you encounter don't even know they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
I've not heard that before. So what do you mean by that?
This usually happens from a sudden and unexpected death,
mm-hmm.
a drug overdose, a suicide. There was a client in Florida, and she was suffering through a 30-year abusive relationship, and her husband committed suicide. Poor woman is getting heart palpitations, and she said, there's something going on here. I can't figure it out. Would you help me? And I did a session with her over the phone, connected with her husband. So my connection is, again, it's the family connection. So I will take the spirit and relocate it back to its family where it's supposed to be. There are so many lights out there. There's a million stars. Everybody has a light. You have tremendous light. So you send a spirit into the light, but, well, which one are you sending me to? Then they come back and they get a little frustrated. So I said, no, you're going to go with your family. So I sent her husband with his mother to where he's supposed to be. The next two mornings, I'm having chest pains and heart palpitations. And I'm like, I'm stopping the coffee in the morning, and I'm not doing my vitamins. I'm doing exercises. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to have a heart attack. What is this? Finally, after a couple mornings, when I was going to bed, and I said, okay, this isn't me. As an empath, I take on a lot of these pains and anxieties. So I said, who is this?
Mm.
Oh, it's her husband. I said, well, what are you doing here? This is causing me pain. You should have been with your mom. He said, I'm not ready to go with her yet. Why? He said, I'm just not ready. So I do something kind of silly. I say, well, tell me what kind of shoes you're wearing. And he says, I can't see that. I said, because you don't have a body. You and I do this all the time. I have to tell them that they were successful in their last suicide. And they do get upset. And I said, but you do not have a body anymore. You now have elevated to the spirit realm. And now you really do have to go with your mom, okay? So after that, I don't have any heart palpitations. But that's something that happens a lot.
Isn't that interesting? Because they would attach to the nearest body, those that have bodies, because they were used to embodying a body.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about your experience on a motorcycle. Tell me that story.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I loved motorcycles. I was driving motorcycles all over Europe and had finished a cross-country trip from New York out to California. I was working in Anaheim and coming back and forth. And this was one of those simple little rides to, I was going to the gym. Shorts and a t-shirt, and I had a gym bag on. We didn't have to wear helmets back then.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 1990, I think it was.
Okay.
So I was going down Sunset Boulevard, and I turned, and a woman hit me head-on. I can still see it. It was a green Jaguar. I was flying through the air, landed on my head, and passed out. So I'm there looking up, and I can see blue sky, and I saw birds flying by, and I thought, I must have gone to the gym. There's a pool there. Maybe I'm lying by the pool. And I lifted my head up, and I'm in the middle of the road. I could see several driveways down. My bike was totaled, and then I could see where the car was, and I'm not able to move anything. I'm not feeling anything, so I couldn't feel any pain, but my thought was, oh, my God, I got to get up. Someone's going to see me. This is so embarrassing.
Or run over you.
I'm like in the middle of the road. Come on. Trying to get my arm to move, and nothing was moving. Somebody did drive by and said they would call 911 for me. The paramedics came, and as they were picking me up, they said, who put your gym bag under your head? And I said, my grandmother did. He said, where is she? I said, well, she died about 10 years ago. And as I said that, I saw my body flying through the air. I saw the gym bag being taken from behind me and pushed in front of me. I could see her hands and her face. And then I landed somehow.
On the gym bag?
I must have rolled or something. But the Cedars-Sinai emergency room kept me awake all night and put me through MRIs and CAT scans, and I had four doctors release me in the morning. By then, I could feel my fingers. I could feel everything coming back in my body. They said, first of all, you should be dead.
So you didn't have any adhesions on your head or brain damage or injury?
Yeah, there should have been a fractured skull, a severed spine,
right.
Multiple internal injuries. They said, we found nothing.
Wow.
And we freaked them out even more. There was no blood. I was on pavement, 50 feet of pavement,
wow.
And the bike was totaled, the car was totaled, and I got out of the bed and walked home.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And it was like, at the time, it was like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. But then you realize a couple years later, going, I shouldn't even be here. And I always had that feeling that grandma was around and that, like you with your accident, yeah, we're here, maybe we have a purpose.
Yes, yes,
Tell our
yes.
stories and make people feel better.
It's so interesting because, yeah, the surgeons were probably still scratching their head. What were you doing before that happened? What was your line of work?
I was working at the Walt Disney Company.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. And so, at what point did you realize that you really are like a ghost whisperer, that you really have the ability to connect with these non-entities?
Well, there's an intuitiveness, and there's a chapter in the book about how highly intuitive people have a tendency to take everything personally. It's like little daggers going into your heart every time something happens, and the daggers are pointed to them. And I teach the clients to say, "Hey, you're given information by being empathetic. It's not to hurt you; it's to give you empowerment. Just switch that around and look at it that way." I think through the intuition, and I was like coaching people, and I kept thinking, like, how do I know this stuff? How can I, at a young age, start telling people what they should do? And I started listening more, and I have this like 24/7 conversation with my guides now, and it's something that is tremendous once we realize it's there and how to access it. I started doing energy clearings because I could see when energies, we are like Norman just said, we're energetic beings, you know, we do attract other energies, and to do an energy clearing, especially on creative people that get blocked and they can't see, and to clear all that energy out and bring their energy in, I would also sense that there was something else there.
Interesting. So other than their own physical energies, psychic or psychological energies, there were other forms of beings there. Do you think you're more attuned to seeing the other beings than anything?
Yeah, I went to school for engineering, so it was always hard for my science side to say, okay, why am I? I kind of see with an empathetic center. I really strongly can feel them when there's something around.
Amazing.
It was never frightening. Most of the people that call me are terrified because they don't understand it. And one of my favorite stories is, a guy I know from the gym called and said he had broken up out of a relationship and wanted me to come in and do an energy clearing. And he said, "I need an exorcism." I said, "Well, that's kind of intense. What's going on?" He goes, "There's something in here. Everybody senses something in here. I want an exorcism. I want it gone." And you know, our fallback emotion is fear. So I think all this time, you know, all these people suffering with fear, and I go in and go, no, it's, you know, not what you think it is. So we did the clearing, the energy clearing. He brought his energy back in, and we're sitting there talking. And he said, "Is there anything else?" I said, "Well, there's a woman standing next to you." He goes, "Oh my God, get her out of here!" I said, "Wait a minute, she's really sweet. It's this little woman. She's got those like 50s glasses on it." And I was just about to say her name, and he says, "Agnes." And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "That's my grandmother." I said, "You don't want to do an exorcism on grandma. She's here to help you and support you. So why would you do that?" And it's just people, when they, as soon as you hit the fear button, they close everything.
Well, there's so many movies around it and so forth, and there can
I
be
know.
very ill-intentioned beings that really do mess with you think? And I'm sure you've seen them.
I try not to.
How do you tell the difference? I mean, when you approach or hear somebody calls you, how do you know you're not coming into a poltergeist?
I term it as I want to see both sides of the coin. If you have something that's bothering you, I just had a 6 month session with this new townhouse in Hollywood. They had texted me 6 months ago and said, "Please come save us. We're living in the movie The Conjuring. were being pushed and shoved. The lights are going on and off, making the dogs pee. It was endless. They were going to sell. So is that evil? Is that a poltergeist? Or what's going on? So they had five psychics in. They did Santeria. Yes. Cut a chicken's head off
Oh
and
my
things like
God.
that. And
What?
I said, no, we're gonna figure out what this is. So fortunately, I'm able to have a conversation and see what it is. This was bigger than anything I had imagined. The house was built on a spiritual portal. And it was just this constant run through of spirits and entities going to wherever they go to when they go through a portal.
Wide open. Oh, wow. Interesting.
So all this stuff that's happening, my guides, I say, okay, well, this is beyond me. What are we going to do? And I get the information, and they tell me exactly what we should do. It was like peeling an onion. We went through layers and layers and layers of getting rid of the spirit entities that were there. They weren't harmful. Most of the time, they're just there trying to get attention. We did a relocation of the spirit portal. You can't really close it because they'll be really upset with you. So we closed it and relocated it. And after several more clearings, the house is fine. The carpets are back down. The dogs aren't peeing. And it has a wonderful, happy ending.
Wow. Do you send these goat or these beings to back to where they came from or to their family or soul family? Or where do you say when you do a clearing like that? Where do you send them?
Most of the time, it's with their family. If Here's a great story. I got a call from a client. He's happily married, has two kids, and for the past 6 months, every day, all he thinks about is how he's going to kill himself. He's been to psychiatrists. He's been on the medications. He's done everything. And he said, there's something not right because it wasn't progressive. Lisa, he woke up one day
All of
and
a
just said,
sudden.
oh, I need to move on. I need to find a way to kill myself. It's not like he was ever depressed before. He's happy. He loves his job. He loves his family.
No circumstances that would make him
So
upset.
as soon as he called me, he was referred to me through a hypnotherapist. And as soon as he started talking, I instantly knew what it was, and the spirit gave me his name. His name was Henry, and I said, "Where do you work?" He works in an old senior center near Hollywood and Vine, and it opened in 1924 as a hotel, but it's now a senior living center. And I said, "Oh, you got lots of friendly spirits there." So here's someone that's extremely lonely and really liked my client's energy and light.
Oh,
So
they
they're just
attract
saying,
light.
come with me, come over here, keep me company. But to do that, it's a very expensive thing to do because you have to give up your life to go join them.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, Rick. I am fascinated on why what these ghosts in general want us to know or why they do attach to some people and not others. So we will come back and you can share that information in just a little bit. I am Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back. My guest is Rick Wagner. His book is called My Haunted Reality: 50 Years of Ghost Stories. Really good ghost stories in here. He's a spiritual healer, also known as the Ghost Doctor. We're going to come back, find out so much more if you have an entity around, hanging around you, what you can do about it, what they might be trying to tell you, and then how you can kind of shake that off and send it back to where it came. All right, we will be back. I am Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. My guest is Rick Wagner. We're talking with the, I call him the modern day Ghostbuster. I've given you a new title, Rick. You
Thank you, Lisa.
even look a little bit like Bill Murray in your picture here with your on your
Oh my
picture.
God.
Just in that picture on the book cover. I was asking you earlier, what do these ghosts in general want us to know?
By the way, that story with my client, that spirit was relocated, and in that one session, all of his thoughts of suicide disappeared.
Mm,
He
thank
went
you
back
for.
to, and that's on, actually, his review is on the back of the book. That story is in the book. What do
Interesting.
they want? I think there something happens in the transition, whether it's sudden, unexpected, and they lose their way. They don't know what to do. They look for light and they attach. One of my, again, transition stories is I did a clearing on a house, on an apartment for a friend of mine. She had moved from New York after Hurricane Sandy and was staying in this apartment, and she was calling me the first 4 days, and she goes, "I'm so depressed. I'm so depressed." Well, I said, "Of course you are. You lost everything. Relax, you'll be fine." 2 months later, she's moving back to New York. I was helping her, and I said, "There's something in this bedroom." She said, "I tried to tell you." I said, "No, you tell me you were depressed. You didn't say there was something in here." I found a young spirit named Jonathan who was terrified to come out of the closet. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I reconnected him with his mother. That seemed to be the end of the story. I was going to bed that night in my apartment, and there was something standing at the foot of my bed in a mound of depression. And I said, "This needs to go away. I can't deal with this right now. I'm exhausted." I woke up in sweats and a migraine and spinal traction. I thought I had pinched something in my neck. I was in severe pain. I'd never experienced anything like this. I thought I'd have to go to the hospital. But it came with this incredible sense of depression. I couldn't see past myself to see what was going on. I got myself outside, and on the way back to my apartment, I had these thoughts of how I could commit suicide. And I'm
Wow.
like, "This isn't me. There's a bus coming down the street, and I can take 2 steps over to the right, and I could transition to my next light level." I'm like, "No, there's something wrong here." I went upstairs, and I had a conversation with what I then saw was this entity again, who was completely lost, didn't know what to do. His name was Anthony. I was getting all this information. Every time he went to connect to someone there, he was shunned. He was just got more and more depressed. He saw that I was able to have a conversation with Jonathan.
Oh.
So he thought he'd follow me home. I could help him. And the way I could help him would be to kill myself and join him. Now, he's not evil. It's not a poltergeist. They're just really lost and lonely, and those energies do assimilate into us. And I asked my guides afterwards, I said, "You know, that was really horrible. I almost had a thought of jumping in front of a bus. Were you guys on vacation? What was going on?" And they said, "No, because if we told you this, you wouldn't believe us. So we had to let you show." They showed me how effective that is and how devastating it is. So Anthony went with his mother, I'm sorry, with his father, and back with his family. And as soon as he left, this was a huge transition for me. The headache was gone. The spine pain was gone. The depression was gone. My energy was back like 125%. I said, "Okay, I really see that there's something here. And it's a really, really, really important message." And that was more of a transition. And after that, that's when I started doing the work.
The message was not to take on these energies, or
To be aware of the energies around us.
okay.
And before running to a doctor and doing the medications and the addictions and suicide thoughts and all that, wherever that would go, let's just be aware of the energies. Maybe have a conversation with me before you start that, and let's see what it is and see if we need to relocate something or shift the energies around you, and to see if it still persists.
Could a surefire sign be, I don't feel like myself, this isn't me?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's not your thought. It's not your authentic voice that you were born with.
And can somebody do what you just said, hook this, look, maybe identify this foreign energy and connect it, or do you have to be a little bit more experienced? I mean, can you start the process on your own?
I think you'd be able to see if it was you, because if it was you, it would have been like a long term. What I look for is if it just happened in a day,
Right,
all of a sudden,
sudden.
if it's that quick. There's also these diagnoses of mental illness in kids when they're 17 or 18 years old and they start doing weird things. I go, "But they were fine the day before."
Do you
Something
see?
is around them that needs to be cleared to get them back to their normal selves again. That's what I'm saying.
Have you looked at anything like maybe these school shooters and so forth? Have you tried to see if there's,
Oh, Lisa, absolutely.
yeah.
Absolutely. And the suicides from soldiers coming back from Afghanistan with
Oof.
all those loose spirits running around, and they see these boys, and the conversation would be, "You went to Afghanistan, you were not thinking of suicide, and you come back thinking of suicide? What happened?"
Well, the things that they probably saw.
That's one of them. But then again, if there's a little spirit around them that wants them to join them and say, "Hey, come on over here," So it's a conversation, and my conversations don't have side effects. And I'd
Yeah.
be able to tell right away if there was something there.
Do you think that the medications could cause more of a vacancy for these guides to inhabit a body?
Yes.
Unfortunately, huh?
I recently had a client. She was Russian, and her boyfriend was here, but she would go through severe manic attacks, and these were violent episodes. And she said something just consumed her to do this. And would I come over and meet with them and see if we could find a solution? So we're in the little one bedroom with her and her boyfriend in Hollywood, and she's giving me a tour. The door to the bedroom, Lisa, was full of holes. It looked like Swiss cheese. I said, "What's going on here?" She said she had a samurai sword during one of her episodes and smashed the door and smashed all the windows in the apartment. She's been institutionalized. She's been on medication. She's been incarcerated. She's been in prison because of these. She said it just clearly something else takes over. And I thought, I was going to say first, it's like, "Well, okay, we're done here. This is enough for me.
I mean,
I'm
that's
out of here."
classic a mental illness
But
case.
we sat at the table in her dining room with her boyfriend and got his story and got her story. And he said, "There's someone sitting next to you." She said, "Is it from the old country or is it something new?" I said, "It's very heavy. I feel heaviness. This is someone that's been with you." And I just said, "15. I think she's 15." She knew instantly it was a girlfriend of hers from Russia. The family was very wealthy. The girl was very beautiful. The mother died when she was 15, and it was a very Russian thing at the time that the girl just wanted to be with her mother, so she killed herself. This little girl, 15 years old, killed herself, couldn't find her mom, so attached onto my client.
Her friend.
I said, "I have to tell you something else. She's not just sitting on your right side, she is in your right side." And she confirmed that because she said she, for 20 years, would get goosebumps on just the right side of her body. And it was the oddest thing because usually it's both arms, both legs, not just half of the body. And I explained to her, if we take her away where she's supposed to be, you're going to be off balance. We're ripping half of the energy out of your body. We're going to have to, you're going to have, I'm going to check in with you every day. You're going to have to balance yourself, and you're going to be very lonely. You're going to be very emotional. You're going to just be shopping for something and break out in tears because this companion of yours, good or bad, is gone. So I check in with her every week, and she's doing tremendous. There's no more anger, no more episodes. It was tremendous. The results are tremendous.
And you return this spirit to its
To her
mother.
grandmother, actually. And the anchor then was that she actually found her mother there too. So there is this whole family bonding.
Reunion and everything worked there, and then the girl is doing fine.
So
Interesting.
my confirmation that I get, which is, I would say, "Can't they just send me an email and say that they're happy?" I came back to my apartment and something was making me angry, and I put the inside of my mouth, and I remember slamming the door, and I'm like tipping chairs over, and I'm like furious. I'm like, "Oh, wait a minute, there's no reason for me to be this angry." And I realized it was that spirit coming back. And it takes me a while to figure, "Okay, I know who this is. What do you want?" And it's a confirmation. That's how they present themselves to me, to let me know that they are where they're supposed to be. It's a little bit rough for me.
Yeah, how do you protect yourself?
I know, and everyone says, I've got my selenite wands, I've got my hematite, I've got my candles, I've got my sage, I've got my Palo Santo. But it's my guides that are actually my protection. I can see like a little white fence that they put around me. The confirmations and the information that come to me is still coming to me and is part of the work. And it's temporary. So, yeah, if there's a lot of repercussions. I quit doing this work 3 times. I just said, I can't do
Sleep with
this.
the lights on, you take Epsom salt baths every 5 minutes.
It's, but no, it's just like physically painful.
Yeah.
And I know if I woke up, I thought I had food poisoning. And food poisoning doesn't come with deep depression. I said, okay, what is this? This needs to go. And then I have to do a clearing and get that to go wherever it was, or if it's something coming back. So it's
Your neighbors must love you. Like, what is going on over
is he
there?
burning now?
How many people have moved out next to you? So it's basically if somebody has long-term pain or depression, it might be caused by a spirit or a guide or some type of non-entity that is attaching themselves to that vacancy in that person.
And the interesting thing is we have electrical centers.
Okay.
Like Norman said, our head, our brain area is an electrical center, our neck, our shoulders, and our spine. If you have long-term pain in that area, it's usually not always a family member, but it's usually a family member saying, I'm here. I just want you to know I love you. Like, but yeah, but you're hurting them. I had a client in Florida who had a client that was in severe back pain for 10 years and all these other issues, and out of a relationship that the lover had passed away. And this was something, as soon as the conversation started, I said, oh, you know, your dad's with you. He goes, no, I hate that son of a bitch. I don't want him around here. I don't want to even think that he's here. And I said, no, you got to calm down. He's transitioned, he's enlightened, he knows he is sorry for everything he did, and he's holding on to your spine. He has a hold on your lower back, and that's how he's been following you around since he died. He died 10 years ago, and that's when the back pain started. So I had that, you know, our family connections, they're not to be sent away, they're still, you know, around. I had him step back. And explain to him that you're causing the human experience, you're interfering with the human experience, you're causing us pain. A few minutes later, he had to get up and go to the bathroom, and the woman that was sitting there, she gasped and she goes, oh my God, that's the first time I've seen you stand up straight. And he realized, oh, he now has mobility in his lower back because dad stepped back. I get these all the time. Usually it's like a grandmother's like the right shoulder and neck area.
Really?
Father's like the left side. I don't know why. Maybe that's just a coincidence. But they'll just kind of be leaning on that neck area, and people will have this pain for years, and they'll just say, hey, just step back. Instantly gone.
That's amazing. I mean, so you've seen this happen over and over and over
For
again.
years, yes.
Fascinating. Now, is there any case where you haven't been able to figure this out? And I mean, or how has that gone? I'm just curious because is it always solvable?
Pretty much because as I said, I look at both sides of the coin. If something is bothering a human, what are you doing here, really? Is this enjoyable for you? You know, you transfer over, transition to spirit world, and you want to pester humans. Why, really? I haven't had anything that didn't, if. Okay, if I know it's a spirit, it has been solved. If their pain is from another source, that is, it's not spirit or energy related, yes.
Now, if you have guides that you work with, how would you suggest that we could be able to do this ourselves or go to sleep and be able to have peace and rest?
One of the huge things that I work on is stress, because stress has is the it's the number one issue where everything else kind of snowballs from. What
Right.
do we take to bed with us when we go to sleep at night?
Stress.
I say, return to sender. Any stresses or anxieties here, 90% of the stuff in our head belongs to somebody else. It belongs to other people. If we return all that stuff, we don't have all these worries and problems. Stresses and anxieties are not self-generated. They're coming from a source. If
Can we
you
return
return
it
it,
to who? A living person or?
yes, a living person, a car,
That
and
gave
just
you the stress.
it's a psychological act of returning it back to them with love, getting it off my shoulders. I'm going to bed, leave me alone. Anything that hasn't gotten done, because we always have lists. We have so many things on our list. Oh, I only got five things done today. I've got to do this. We take that to bed, and that interferes with our sleep. This is brilliant. We delegate. Okay? You delegate all the things that you did not get done to your spirit guides. You say, hey, you guys aren't doing anything tonight. Here, you know more about this stuff than I do. You work on this. I'm going to sleep. And when I do that for my clients, I say, I haven't slept like that in years.
That's great. Yeah, that's a great technique.
It's huge.
We usually think that we have to shoulder all of that and bring it into our sleep space with
I
us
know.
and
Yeah, we say, oh, I'll work on it while I'm sleeping. No, you won't. No, you won't.
A
All it's
lot
going to do is interfere with your sleep. You're going to get a lousy sleep. You're going to feel like crap the next day.
and a lot gets, yes, stored in your subconscious and it just rolls around all night like a hamster wheel.
And a lot of those solutions that we're festering about, you say, you know, I surrender. I tried this, I tried this, I tried this. I don't know what to do. All right, I'm going to surrender that to my guides. And there will be a solution in the next day or two.
Now
It's so brilliant. It's so easy.
you mentioned before, and we're going to take a quick break, but Rick, when we come back, I want you to talk about what it means to be super light, bright being so that these ghosts can't attach themselves to you. And if one happens to get in, maybe that's another good way to go to sleep is to beam that light so that you are protected. So we're going to talk about that when we come back, okay? Sound good? All right. Thanks, Rick. We will be right back. I am Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast AM.